Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on the virtues of knowledge, the virtues of ilm. From these ahadith we find that we are exalted, we are encouraged that we should try and spread knowledge, spread deen, spread ilm in whichever way we come, whichever way we can. It doesn't mean that a person has to be an alim, has to be a qazi, has to be a very learned person to spread knowledge. We'll find from these ahadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging the benefits of teaching somebody something, of guiding somebody. What are the benefits? One is a Muslim, he is taught that from the time I am young, a person is taught that my learning has started. That we are taught that learning has started. Then we teach also the youngsters, from the children. The learning starts from the lap of the mother and it finishes in the lap of the grave. There isn't such a thing like how in Western secular education, once a person gets his degree in his hand, he gets a qualification and that's the end of it. And now they try to introduce other interventions, other controls to see that how these people who have studied, these professionals, and how they can continue what they're studying. So they bring something as a CPD, continuous professional development. But in Islam, there isn't such a thing. A man is developing himself all the time as far as ilm is concerned. The only time that this ilm stops after the starting by the lap of the mother is now when he reaches that lap of the qabr. This is when the education stops for him. It doesn't matter how old he is, how sick he is, what condition he is, all the time he's trying to learn and all the time he's trying to empower himself, develop himself as far as ilm is concerned. And now from these hadith also is how good it is to empower others, to develop others, to share what you've got as far as that knowledge is concerned. Knowledge is something the more a person gives, the more a person grows as far as his ilm is concerned and the more stronger his knowledge becomes. عن سهل بن سعد رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لعلي رضي الله عنه فوالله لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من أن يكون لك حمر نعم متفق عليه. هذا سهل بن سعد رضي الله عنه narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم he said to Hazrat Ali رضي الله عنه by Allah if Allah guides a single person through you it will be better for you than red camels. It will be better for you than red camels. And just to understand, the red camels were like a very, very precious commodity in that time. Like in our time, for our understanding, not your ordinary car, it's like your Ferrari and your Lamborghini and your Rolls Royce. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling that better than all those cars is one person getting hidayat, one person getting guided through you. Such a simple way, such an easy way. Sometimes you might just talk to one friend, you might just talk to one customer, might just talk to one person you meet at the airport or in the aeroplane, give him a little bit, it leaves him with food to thought. Later that person changes his life, he gets hidayat. You don't know what investment you've got. You're thinking that you've only got these few houses and few cars and whatever, but you've invested in much, much more as far as the akhirat is concerned. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, is better for you than red camels. In other words, focus more of your time in these things. Rather than focusing on those investments that depreciate, focus on these things that appreciate all the time and they multiply all the time. So see how people can be guided through you in whichever way. Even sometimes it's through a person's mannerisms, his style, his approach of speaking, his approach of talking. He may not know too much, but just that little that he speaks and the little that he says, people will look at this person and they'll be guided through him. That look at this person's style, what a nice way he's got, what a nice approach he's got. This is what a Muslim is and this is what he represents as far as Islam is concerned. When Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, balighu anni walu ayah, wa hadithu an bani Israel wala haraj, wa man kathaba aliyya muta'ammidan fal yatabuwa maq'adahu minan nar, rawahu al-Bukhari. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, balighu anni walu ayah, then make tabligh from me, convey from me, even if it is one ayah. So yeah, this teaches us something. Sometimes we feel very reluctant and how can I speak anything? We might be afraid that here the hadith is telling us, even if it is one ayat, one verse, you don't have to speak the whole hadith, the whole tafsir or the whole fiqh. We can just speak one ayat, a person knows, he learned something, he can share it. And one thing under this is sometimes we may have missed the boat as far as teaching our children is concerned as they were growing up. But we got the opportunity of teaching our grandchildren. We got the opportunity of teaching our nephews, our nieces, as they are growing up. Children are very, very soft at this age. They're very receptive. And they like to listen. And a very easy way to teach children is to tell them in a story format that got a small moral. For example, we hear the Jummah Bayan, today will be Jummah. If the alim says something, or he mentions an incident, then try and remember that incident, and go home and just relate that. Make tabligh of that one incident, this is what he said, and this is the moral. So sometimes we don't have to go and speak actual Quran, Hadith, we don't need to do all those things. Just mention stories. Children like to listen to stories, and stories with morals remain for a very long period of time. And even if we don't know any stories of morals, there are many kitabs you get. Many nice kitabs you get that are now prepared with stories, deliberate stories there, and at the end it tells you what the moral of the story is. And most of those stories are taken from our proper ahadith kitabs, taken from our history kitabs, taken from our seerah kitabs, our tariq kitabs. So they are very nice stories to empower us also, and for the children to learn. So this is a very nice way to get across to the children. Instead of speaking to them about sports, speaking to the children about this soccer player and that cricket player, speak to them about Sahaba. Speak to them about Anbiya alayhim salam. Speak to them about Akhirat. At the end of the day, this starts shaping their mind, and they start getting that fear and that khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts from a young age. If we're going to talk to them about the TV programs, about Disney World, and about other things, about cartoons, then we're not benefiting them in any way. Because these are things that have been created by the West, have been created by Yahud, and these are things that are indoctrinating and are shaping their minds. Rather, we shape them in our mold, in our dini culture, in a way that will help them right up till the end, right up till the time that they pass away. So anyway, the next part of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hadithu an Bani Israel wa la haraj." Mention stories of the Bani Israel, and wala haraj, there is no problem with this. What is meant by this is there are certain riwayat that are known as Israeli riwayat. Riwayats that are not directly from our hadith and not mentioned from the Quran, but narrations from the Bani Israel. Now this, there is a bit of explanation. This is when it is not going against our usuls and our principles of deen. It is not going against anything of deen. Then there is no problem to mention narrations that are taken from the riwayats, from the Israeli riwayats. So long as they are not going against any one of our principles of deen, they are not going against our usul of deen, so, and it's substantiating what deen has brought, it is making more firm, and it is supporting what deen has brought, then there is no problem even in quoting these riwayat. You will find that sometimes in the tafsir kitabs, they bring in these riwayat explaining certain incidents that happened at that time, certain occasions, certain stories. So long as it's not going and contradicting against what our narrations are, then there's no issue and problem as far as mentioning this Bani Israel or the Israeli riwayats are concerned. وَمَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّعْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautions. This is a very serious caution. That person that fabricates against me, that person that lies against me, a person attributes a hadith, that this is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sends it out. Well, he doesn't even know, he doesn't verify whether it is actually a hadith, and he's forwarding it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning, that person that fabricates against me, he lies against me, فَلْيَتَبَوَّعْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. And he's doing this deliberately, مُتَعَمِّدًا, deliberately he's making up. You get many people that make up hadith. And at the end they say, if you share this with so many people, you share this hadith, this is the benefit. And if you don't share this, this is the harm. And they put the riwayat that this is hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. You won't find anywhere in the hadith sharif like this, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says such a thing. If you share it with so many people, you will get so much of reward. And if you don't share it, and this is the punishment, you'll never get. This is known as chain narrations, or chain letters, where people try and get that thing to continue as far as they can. So they fabricate many things against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this hadith we see how serious it is. مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا. That person that lies against me deliberately, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. This person should prepare his abode in the fire of Jahannam. He should prepare his abode in the fire of Jahannam for doing such a serious thing. What you're actually doing is diluting the deen. You're confusing people. Something that is not the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're claiming it is a hadith. Therefore, as a lay person, a general rule is, if you're not sure something is a hadith, it's not from a reliable source, then the best thing is, don't even forward it. Rather, we ask somebody, that is this a hadith? I'm not sure if it is a hadith. And very often, a person who is clued up and he's linked, and he knows the signs of hadith, immediately he can pick up that this is a fabrication. That you do so many things, so many times, and this is the so many million reward you get. You read this so many times, and this is the so many million reward you get. Often this is not the style of hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generally, as a general rule, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't specify so many million reward for reading it 40 times, 30 times, 50 times, as a general rule. And there are other things that a person who is clued up with the science of hadith will pick up from, to say that this is not the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is actually a fabrication. So the best thing for us is to refer to original good kitabs and read it. And if we happen to get something somebody sends to us, then let us first verify that this is actually the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before we share it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.